Good afternoon. You're listening to The Trend on WNIN. I'm Cass Harrington. Today we're spending the afternoon in Henderson, a small river town of a population of about 46,000 people. And history still lingers in the downtown area. A distinguishing characteristic of the town are the unusually wide streets. Reportedly, the planners in the 18th century laid it out this way to prevent a fire in one block from quickly spreading to another. And a natural reminder of Henderson's history is just outside the window here on Water and First Street, the Ohio River. The river was crucial to Henderson's development. It brought settlers to the region and connected it to international markets. By the 19th century, Henderson County was a major producer and exporter of tobacco. Some say that in 1860, Henderson ranked second only to Heidelberg, Germany, in terms of per capita wealth. So with that storied history in mind, we go on for an hour about more legends and lore today. We're looking at Henderson's vision for renewal, development, and progress. Joining me right now is Abraham Brown. He is the Hispanic he's the director of Hispanic ministry at Holy Name of Jesus Catholic Church. And while we're waiting for the mayor, we are going to talk about the role of diversity in an initiative happening here in Henderson called Vision Henderson. Evansville listeners might be familiar with Voice, which started about 2 years ago. It was when the community came together and people were surveyed about kind of their hopes, dreams, desires, wants for the future of the community. Well, Henderson, they're in the same process here. And Abraham, in a nutshell, essentially, what was your responsibility in this process?
Well, first of all, thank you for inviting me. We were very grateful to be part of this initiative. The mayor called us because he wanted to make sure that minorities were represented and we were accounted for. He wanted to learn about what the Latinos were thinking about the future of Henderson. And that was a very good opportunity where we could bring a good number of Latinos represent this community and talk about their hopes and their vision of what they would like to see in Henderson.
And so I guess some estimates say about 1,200 Latinos in the county, is that right?
That's correct. We have close to 1,200 Latinos in Henderson County, and it's a community that's growing really, really fast. It's the fastest growing minority in the area.
So when we're talking about the future and, you know, both immediate future and down the road, years, decades. So the Latino identity will be a big part. It's obviously a big part now, but it'll be an even bigger part of this town's identity.
Yeah, that's correct. You can see it now in the classrooms, how Latinos are now a familiar face in different schools here in the area. More Latino kids are joining the schools, and one of the big things that we learn with these asking questions to Latinos about the future of Henderson is that they came to the area because they see Henderson as a very welcoming community, a community with lots of opportunities and opening to diversity. So that was a very positive thing that we learned through this process.
Well, so I understand you were able to include about 200 people from the Hispanic community in these conversations. And so what sorts of things were you hearing?
Well, as I mentioned, that was one of the big things that they were very positive about, how Henderson is welcoming our Latino community. Also, they're looking for opportunities to not just come and work at different manufacturing companies, but they would like to be a vibrant part of the economy, opening new businesses, sharing their culture, trying to bring that touch of diversity to the area. A lot of them, they have this sense of enriching our culture with Mexican restaurants or other businesses that really represent our culture.
So looking for more opportunities for becoming, you know, a business leader, more social mobility, perhaps?
Yes, that's correct. Henderson has been very open to welcome initiatives to make sure that Latinos are integrated into the community with information that could be bilingual in some cases. Mm. The mayor every year comes to our big Latino health fair and welcomes every participant, and he greets them by hand and makes sure that everybody knows who he is and how important it is for him to know that Latinos are getting that contact with the city of Henderson.
Hmm. Well, you brought up an interesting point that, you know, many members of the Latino community here have jobs in the manufacturing industry. And I know that that is kind of your historical tie to the area. You worked in a denim factory here.
Yeah.
So with that perspective that you bring to this conversation, you know, growing up here, seeing the social changes going on, what areas do you see for improvement? For, you said it's a welcoming community, but it seems like there are some things that that they would like to see happen.
Yes. In the integration process, communication is one important reality that sometimes is difficult to address. They would like to see more an improvement on communication, especially for the Latinos of the first generations that have problems with adapting to the language, and they would like to see a little bit more opportunities in the language that they can understand. So communication is one of the big ones. Mm. Also opportunities for education, making sure that their children are well educated, as well as the adults having opportunities for them to be integrated into the workforce with good education.
So what can we go specific there? What would that look like?
Probably opening opportunities for GED classes in Spanish for them so that they can apply for better jobs. Opportunities for apprenticeship for jobs are big here in the area, that Latinos could take advantage of them. I don't know, welders and other things are important here in the area. Also, language opportunities, ESL classes that could help them integrate better mm-hmm. with the initiatives that are already running in the city that can touch Latinos.
Mm-hmm. So what, you know, what is the response to this? I know it's still early in the stages of this visioning process, but, you know, are there any kind of reactionary programs or things in the works to help improve?
Actually, the Henderson Community College, as soon as they started listening to all these different ideas that the community had, they're looking into opening opportunities for these type of learning experiences for Latinos, expanding their GED program to welcome more Latinos, working with companies to see if they can start apprenticeship programs so that they could come and learn about all these different things that they can do to get a job, a well-paying job.
Mm-hmm. Well, so as I understand you, so you represent not just Latinos, but diversity in this project. Are there any other minorities that are looking for that representation?
Well, sometimes when people talk about Latinos, they just think about probably people coming from Mexico as our closest neighbor. But even within our Latino community, it's a large diversity. We have a lot of countries represented here, starting from Mexico, El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, Nicaragua. We have a big diversity even within our Latino community. We also want to include and make sure that as we're covering needs for our Latino community, there are other little communities, Asians and people from other countries that come to the area, and probably is the same process that they need to follow in order to be integrated. So taking care of the Latinos will also help us have a good stepping stone to help other communities that need this type of help.
Well, you bring up a good point, the diversity within Hispanic culture, and one visible reminder of that was this past year's first Latino festival in Evansville, which you planned. So you know, one of the requests or desires of the community here in Henderson was more cultural opportunities. Do you see, you know, perhaps a Fiesta de Henderson happening?
Fiesta Henderson. Actually, talking to the mayor, that those are some ideas that have been really welcomed, and we are in the plans to having some type of Fiesta and Henderson, so that we can celebrate our culture and showcase our diversity and how our different Latino countries can bring a lot of cultural impact to our community.
Well, we look forward to following that. Any other projections for the future of this community, not just with, you know, the Latino population, but just from your time living here?
Well, I've been here in the area for 10 years, and in 10 years, I've seen this city grow tremendously. I've seen different changes are positive to the whole community, as being welcoming, as opening opportunities for everybody, not just the minorities, but for everybody in the area. Henderson is growing fast. Henderson is growing with firm steps to the future, with big opportunities on connectivity with I-69 and other opportunities. Local initiatives are making this city a really great destination for different people that would like to live in a little town with great opportunities.
Great. Well, Abraham, thank you for joining us again on The Trend, and we will follow along.
Thank you. Thank you for the invitation.
You are listening to The Trend on WNIN. We are in Henderson today. The town recently went through a visioning initiative looking at the future of its livability and economic viability. So listeners, if you want to see the Vision Henderson findings, we'll post it up on our Facebook page later this afternoon. Just look for The Trend. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at Henderson tourism, arts, and biking for my bicyclist friends. Stay with us.
Support comes from the Southwest Indiana Chamber, presenting the annual Biz Expo on Thursday, April 16th, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Old National Events Plaza, featuring over 70 businesses and organizations showcasing their products and services and networking with hundreds of local community members. More info at swinchamber.com. It's 19 minutes past 12 noon Central. You're listening to The Trend on WNIN-FM. Today we're live in Henderson, Kentucky. Stay with us for more on WNIN.
Good afternoon. You're listening to The Trend on WNIN. I'm Cass Harrington. Today we are in Henderson taking a look at what local residents are visioning or dreaming for the future of this town, its economic viability, development, and community engagement. So many things to talk about. Joining me right now, I have Kyle Hittner. I just almost want to say Arnett. And she's the executive director of Henderson County Tourist Commission. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
And so a lot of these themes that came out of the surveys, riverfront and downtown engagement, community investment, community viability, accessibility, essentially infrastructure, mm-hmm. and landmarking, these are all things closely tied to
absolutely.
Tourism, so that helps mm-hmm. your cause.
Sure, sure it does. It absolutely does. It all does. Everything that Abraham was talking about, you know, when you talk to Greg, everything, the bikes, it's all related to tourism. It really helps me do my job.
Really? So draw that out for us. Like, were you looking for that visibility before this process took place?
I wouldn't say I was looking for it, but I do welcome it for sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, so let's talk about, I guess, funding. These are, I mean, some of the things that were brought up are beautiful ideas, you know, more of an arts district or enhancement in the parks, a boutique hotel, things that, well, they're costly. Mm-hmm. You know, is there a budget for those kinds of projects?
Well, I will refer, when you say budget, I will refer to the mayor when he shows up for answering that question. But I will say that early on, and I don't know if it's the case still now that the vision process is, or at least the community input part is complete, I think that the perception was, oh, well, if we speak loudly enough, then it's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. And if we bring enough people, then it's just going to happen. And to an extent, that is true. But the reality is that there isn't a lot of funding. We're all strapped. Every town, every county is strapped for funding. So it's not as though, okay, it's complete, and then we're just going to start, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to start seeing construction signs going up all over Henderson. I think it's going to be a slower build than that, and that's why it's a 5, 10, 20-year mm-hmm. plan.
So it sounds like a tough civics lesson for some people.
Right. Yes, yes. But a necessary one and a good one. And I think, you know, like we were discussing earlier, I think now the community is also more aware of how things work in government, in mm-hmm. local government.
Well, you know, I can't help but think, you know, just a few miles down the road, if you go to Owensboro, they have a beautiful waterfront. Mm-hmm. I'm not dissing Henderson's waterfront. We have a great view outside right here. But a lot of mm-hmm. That investment came from Mitch McConnell. So, you know, is there anything in the statewide, you know, pocket mm-hmm. that could be doled out and helped for some of these projects, at least to get them started?
Well, I do know that we did get a big lump of money from, you know, that same sum for our riverfront development. But a lot of Owensboro's did come from taxpayer dollars too, from insurance taxes, that sort of thing. So the question of if, you know, we will see more of that is, I have no idea. I'm hopeful. But really, I don't know. I can't mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm.
Do you think that, you know, are civilians willing to pay taxes on projects like these that are intended to improve quality of life?
Well, it depends on who you talk to, because we did have some of those conversations. And also, as we were talking about earlier, there was the possibility of the local option sales tax being passed through legislation this legislative session. It did not pass, but that would have given our voters here in Henderson County the opportunity to say, yes, we want to pay an additional 1% sales tax on everything to see whatever project we chose as a community happen. And then when that project was complete, the tax would go away. So I really have no idea how that would have gone if it were allowed in the state, how if it would have passed or not locally. I would like to think that it would, mm-hmm. because I thought that that was really a great shot of us actually seeing some of those things from the vision plan happen.
So where people could really vote with their dollars.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, so that didn't pass. What, I mean, are there any immediate steps that, you know, normal folks, I'm not talking about, you know, venture capitalists who can buy a mm-hmm. plot of land and mm-hmm. buy something, but anything that, you know, people want to beautify a part of mm-hmm. the river or, you know, do something. Is there anything for them?
Absolutely. You know, I don't think that because that didn't pass just means that all of our hopes and dreams just went down the drain at all. It just might be a slower build. And so, you know, from our standpoint, from just this office, the Tourist Commission here, is how can we align what we're doing with the vision plan to help as much as we can? You know, we don't have a huge budget. We don't have a ton of money extra left over. But how can we align with that so that we're moving forward as a group rather than just off in la-la land doing our own things that are, you know, not mm-hmm. part of that plan?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I wonder, were there any findings from these conversations? I mean, I've got the PDF in front of me. It's like a whole huge mm-hmm. list of ideas. Anything that maybe change the way that you see your community or how you market it?
It will. It will for sure. As I mentioned, you know, we haven't really put the two side by side and said, this is how we're going to integrate this vision plan into our strategic plan. We will this in April, we will be doing that. So it absolutely will. How that is, I can't exactly say for sure right now. Our mission will still be the same, to essentially be the hosts to this community and to market this community, try to draw outsiders in and the people inside of the community out to really take pride in what they've got here in Henderson. But how we go about that might slightly change because of the vision plan.
I guess what I'm thinking was, you know, a big part of this process, similarly to Voice in Evansville, was residents looking at values, things that Henderson does well, that they like, that they want to hold on to, or that they think was important. But anything out of that that struck you as, oh yeah, we do have that, or that is something that we should brag about a little bit more?
You know, kind of contrary to that, is something that didn't get talked about very much, that I know everyone in this community values very much, and they probably didn't mention it because they love it so much, and they said, you know, why mess with a good thing, is Ottoman State Park. It really didn't get mentioned a whole lot in the vision plan, except for a second entrance. There are probably smaller details regarding Ottoman State Park in the vision plan that were mentioned too, but it wasn't one of the big top things in my mind, because it's really great, and everyone, you know, I'm biased, but we do have a lot of Hendersonians that take advantage of that, and people in Indiana that take advantage of that, and we're really, really lucky. But the youth sports, well, I'll just leave it at youth sports, was a big, big topic that I don't have kids, and I'm not a sports person. I come from a background of arts. So that one was, you know, something I had to really sharpen.
Elaborate on that. So that came up several times?
A lot.
Really?
A lot. You know, there's two different ways to talk about it. There are a lot of folks that want a new youth sports complex. And then some are just saying, we need to focus more on facilities for sports. They weren't necessarily saying we need a new complex. So that, there are a couple of different ideas of what it should be and where it should be. But again, it all comes down to the funding for it. Does that answer your question?
Oh, well, sure. And I'm right there with you. I don't have kids. I like to watch.
But I absolutely, yeah. I attended a meeting with our county parks last night to talk to them about tourism. I absolutely believe that a lot of our revenue comes from business travel, stuff, things that are, people that are visiting our town from Sunday through Thursday. So the weekends are a huge opportunity for us. More events like Handy Fest and Bluegrass and the Songwriters Festival, things like that. But also recreation and sports are a huge opportunity for us in tourism. So right now, our priority is to figure out how we can host events or bring in events that would draw in tourists with what we've got right now. And then hopefully that will generate some revenue that we can put back into the community to help with updating of facilities or perhaps new. I have, you know, I don't know that part yet.
My immediate thought is, you know, you've got a mighty loud crowd of UK alumni in this area, so go just get them together.
Right.
And a little bourbon, and I think you'll have something productive, maybe. But I guess, how does, speaking of the bluegrass country, how does Henderson fit into the state identity? What is this county, this region, doing differently that you can't find in other parts of the state?
Well, our blues festival and our bluegrass festival, the blues festival is in its 25th year, bluegrass in its 30th, and the Blues Festival just continues to grow, and it's very, both of them are unique in that they are free and that they're on the riverfront. But the Slough's Wildlife Management Area is another kind of hidden jewel. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've been down there, but it's on the riverfront towards Geneva, which is still in Henderson County, and just so many beautiful cypress trees. I went down there over Christmas break, and I saw probably about 10 eagles.
Wow.
And then thousands and thousands and thousands of Canadian geese fly over. So that's something that we definitely have, that I can say for sure that a lot of people in this, that does set us apart. I know that there are racetracks in the state, but Ellis Park helps us really kind of, that's a feather in our cap too. And really just, you know, that's Kentucky. That is what we are, as thoroughbreds.
It's interesting that you keep bringing up nature. I mean, because in my introduction, we talked about the river, and just outside there's a bronze statue of John James Audubon, and it seems like a lot of the history is included in this.
You know, from my perspective, we have a beautiful riverfront. We are a river town, but there are a lot of river towns in Kentucky. There are a lot of river towns across the nation. We have Audubon and the river. We have birds. We have trails. We have, there is a lot of nature here, a lot of public parks. And we're really, and all of that, you can't put a price tag on. And it to us, it's, you know, to enjoy that, it costs absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the themes that came out of the surveys was landmarks and placemaking. Mm-hmm. Is that what that means to you, is highlighting the nature and the emphasis on parks, or do you see something else coming out of that interest?
Well, I might get some emails about this. I mean, you know, we have some great landmarks in our downtown, and that's the Audubon sculptures, the bronze sculptures. I actually have a tiny one right there on my shelf. I believe that is something that we could really build upon and expand upon. And it's, again, it is unique to Henderson. Mm-hmm. He didn't live anywhere else in Kentucky for 9 years when he lived in the United States. So, is that, sorry, so, I get off on a tangent.
How would that look, expanding on it?
More sculptures, just, they are expensive. So that's, I think that would possibly fall down the list in regards to all these other things that that our community has said that they would like to see. But beyond that, we use feathers as a logo. The city has a bird as part of their logo. There's a bird on our door. Put a bird on it. Hashtag put a bird on it. Exactly. I would love to see, and this is something that is on my list of things to do, all the restaurants in town offering something like a cocktail or whatever that incorporated that bird theme. And, you know, everyone having, again, maybe a signature cocktail that... Or coffee drink if you're at Planters that incorporated that theme of the bird. When you walked in shops downtown, instead of a doorbell ringing, a bird tweeting, that sort of thing, just to enhance the experience of people that come here, so that they, you know, because that's the type of thing that you notice.
Some more of an emphasis on like a continuity in a brand.
For sure.
Interesting. Well, what, my last question, anything that you put into those conversations that you were particularly passionate about, a vision that you had for Henderson?
I laugh because there was one thing in the plan that I was very vocal about, maybe not being a great use of, of our resources. Downtown, I loved all the talk about downtown. Whenever you say hotel, that my ears perk up, because that would create a new asset for us and also obviously new revenue for us. So those things, I am downtown, I live downtown, I work downtown, and of course we promote much more than just downtown, but I do believe that having a really vibrant downtown is ripples out from there, mm-hmm. Sure. So those things were really exciting to hear. The education, it all was really exciting to me, honestly. Mm-hmm. I'd be hard pressed to pick an absolute favorite, but it was all really exciting.
Great. Well, Kyle, thank you for joining us this afternoon. I've enjoyed talking to you, and we will follow along like we've been saying.
Yes.
So thank you.
We're glad to have you here. Thank you for coming over.
You are listening to The Trend on WNIN. We're going to take a quick break during our visit in Henderson. Coming up on the program, we're going to talk arts. Stay with us.
Support comes from the Southwest Indiana Chamber, presenting the annual Biz Expo on Thursday, April 16th, from 12 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Old National Events Plaza, featuring over 70 businesses and organizations showcasing their products and services and networking with hundreds of local community members. More info at swinchamber.com. You're listening to The Trend on WNIN-FM, live, local, and NPR. It's 23 minutes before the hour of 1 p.m. Central. Stay with us for more, live from Henderson, Kentucky, on The Trend.
Good afternoon. You're listening to The Trend. I'm Cass Harrington. Today, Henderson, history, present, and future. Joining me right now is Greg Gibson. He's the director of the Henderson Area Arts Alliance. Greg, I know you were a big part of the Vision Henderson initiative. Why exactly were you so interested in this process?
Probably because this is hometown for me. I was born and raised here in Henderson. I love the community. I had the privilege of moving away for about 20 years and traveling around the world and seeing sort of all sorts of entertainment-related developments. When I came back, it was just in my gene pool that I wanted to help make this place a better place. So that's why. I love Henderson.
Well, In this segment, we're talking about the arts, not just with your work with the Henderson Area Arts Alliance, but in the conversations during the visioning process and a lot of the survey findings, design elements came out, arts education, arts district.
The word arts are part of our DNA here. There are so many creative and talented people here in the Henderson area. I am totally blown away by it. Visual arts, performing arts, all of the arts here in Henderson are well representative. And we have a great appreciation for the arts. We love to share the arts here. And so that's why I think it finds its way into this visioning process, because there are so many people that are gifted musically, that are gifted visually, that they like to share that with other people.
Hmm. And so any of these big ideas, like an arts school, for example, are any of them going to come to fruition? Are you seeing that?
That'll be really interesting to see. I've got my head pretty well immersed in everything going on at the Fine Arts Center right now, having been there just over a year and programming next year's season and working on a huge fund drive right now, which I know y'all are familiar with.
All too familiar.
Yes, I have 6 volunteers as we speak out there addressing and handwriting 1,300 letters to folks. So I can tell you everything that's going on out there. In terms of these initiatives that came up in this visioning process, I hope that the community gets behind all of this and doesn't mothball and shelve this document and decides that we do want to breathe life into it and keep it going. And that's what it's going to take, our leaders in the community wanting to do something about it and make that happen.
Mm-hmm. But so far, I mean, like I said, it's still early.
It's still early.
But anything in the underground bubbling up, something that we might see happen?
You know, I think what is starting to happen is communication is starting to take place between agencies that really hasn't been there before. Mm-hmm. And that's the first step in any process like that, that people start talking, people start sharing ideas. They start saying, oh, we can do this together, whether that be the Arts Alliance with the schools, Ohio Valley Art League doing things with us out at the Fine Arts Center. The Fine Arts Center wanting to do things with other groups. That is the first step in the process, that they come to the table, they're willing to let their guards down and talk about things.
So often, I mean, this is kind of like the floodgates opening. I mean, people realizing, oh, yeah, you're here, I'm here. And
we're kind of doing somewhat the same things in different areas.
We kind of want to see this happen.
Right.
So it seems like a big part of this was just, you know, getting that visibility and making it okay to talk about it.
Okay to talk about it. When I first moved back to Henderson 12 years ago, one of the first things I did was go around to city leaders and ask, what is our vision for this community? And really no one could answer that question. As part of my Henderson Leadership Initiative class, I kept asking that question, what is our vision for the community? And our group chose to look into the entertainment focus and area of Henderson. So hopefully things are starting to change, and at least we're starting to talk about it, which again is one of the first steps in this process.
And for, you know, perhaps listeners in Henderson who, like myself, full disclosure, don't have a dime to invest. What is something, if they're, you know, interested in supporting the arts, what are the sorts of things they could do to help see that come to fruition?
There's a lot. A lot of people don't even realize that we have a fine arts center that seats 986 folks, that it doesn't have a bad seat in the house, and the acoustics are incredible in that facility. So come enjoy a show at the Fine Arts Center. We have anywhere from 9 to 15 a year. Our next show is Mark Twain on Tax Day, who's 90 years old, still playing this character that he has played for 60 years. And he has over 22 hours of material as this man in a one-man show, and he continues to reinvent himself. He comes in early so he can study the community and put that into his show that evening. So it is amazing. That is coming up in less than 3 weeks. And then a week after that, we have 3-time Grammy winner Roseanne Cash that's coming on Friday, February the 24th. So those are two ways coming up real quick that you can come. Our festivals that I'm sure Kyle mentioned, the Handy Festival and the Bluegrass Festival are great ways. They're free, I mean, in our community that you can come over and enjoy. We have multiple art galleries and exhibits that are going on. There's all sorts of things to do in Henderson.
So it sounds like you're just encouraging people to actually appreciate what is available.
Appreciate what is available and watch us. We're headed places. There's going to be a lot happening in this community in the arts in the future.
Any specifics there? Anything you could clue us in on?
I think that's yet to be determined. Part of it's this visioning process. I'm working on an exciting new lineup for next year at the Fine Arts Center where we present. But not only do we present shows at the Henderson Fine Arts Center, we also go into the schools with programming. And we also work with other art-affiliate organizations to partner with them on presenting the arts. Mm-hmm. So there's lots that's going on here.
Well, speaking with, to the findings of the visioning survey, like I said, design element, I think, came up in several different of these themes. And I wonder, because your background, mm-hmm. you were an Imagineer for Disney World. What does that mean to you when incorporating design into urban planning or redevelopment? Why was that something that kept being brought up?
For me, having worked for the entertainment design giant of the States, if you will, and then going on to work for a spinoff organization that we had offices in Tokyo and in Europe, and we're developing entertainment design resorts, it gave me an idea, or gave me the background and experience to realize that if you create an entertainment-based development, the people will come. And I think that we're going to see a lot of things as we grow into the future, as this main new gateway comes in off of 69 into Henderson on 2nd Street, that we have to define who we are and what our brand is and who Henderson is. And I think entertainment and the arts are going to be a big part of that brand.
So, okay, we just heard from Kyle, who said, you know, maybe having more continuity with the symbol of the bird, and now, and you want to highlight the arts. Do you also have a vision of what exactly, something concrete, when you think Henderson, what is it?
When you think Henderson, I think we are an incredibly hospitable entity and group. We have a lot of roots here with Audubon, who was an incredible naturalist and artist in himself. We have a lot of artists that have come out of here. I think you're going to see, as we develop, that art is going to be a part of it. How that's going to actually tailor, trickle down into the details, yeah, I'm not for sure, which is very exciting in itself. They can go a lot of different directions, but I know it's in our DNA and make up that the arts are deep-rooted in the people that we are here in Henderson.
Well, Greg, what did you put into your vote for the city?
Oh, I put a lot of different things.
I saw a sign of you holding a boutique hotel.
I did. In fact, the assistant city manager, Buzzy Newman, and I were just discussing a hotel. And he said, like a, you know, 100-room hotel. And I am the one that put boutique hotel on a sticky note and put it up. And I believe that that could work in our downtown environment, having a small hotel with a convention meeting space. There's a lot of things that could work in our downtown as we grow, though, too.
Well, we will check in, and we appreciate you joining us on the program.
Great. Thanks for the opportunity. Oh,
thank you, Greg. You're listening to The Trend this afternoon. We are in Henderson talking arts, urban development, and in particular, the ideas that came from Vision Henderson, similar to Evansville's Voice, that collected ideas from residents, ideas and dreams for the future. Coming up, we're going to talk to Buzzy Newman, who's the assistant city manager. He's also going to talk to us about the bike plan for Henderson. Don't miss it. Stay with us.
It's 10 minutes before 1 p.m. Central. Coming up after The Trend, the live program today, broadcasting from Henderson, Kentucky. Join us for Science Friday with Ira Flato from PRI. That's coming up in 10 minutes from now on WNIN-FM. Thank you.
This is The Trend on WNIN. I'm Cass Harrington. Today we are in Henderson in the wake of their Vision Henderson findings, which we will post shortly to our Facebook page. Joining me, I have Buzzy Newman, Assistant City Manager. And Buzzy, you're going to be filling in for the mayor who is unable to join us this afternoon. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, and welcome to Henderson.
Well, thanks. It's good to be here. It's beautiful, a little chilly outside, but we have a nice view of the river here. So just kind of a broad view of the Vision Henderson findings. What were some very obvious needs that you saw from this assessment?
The results from the survey of our citizens of the community and the public input that we received from online surveys revealed the downtown redevelopment and support of continued riverfront projects, whether it be small boutique type hotels, a convention type center, may not be a full size convention center, but something that would be appropriate for Henderson. And the other thing the community is looking for is a more pedestrian-friendly community, looking for new sidewalk connectivities within the community, as well as bicycle planning and
which
projects.
Which we'll talk to you more about. I understand you have an interest in cycling. And you know, from our guests today, we talked about that. We talked about more urban development, more engagement in the community, arts presence, and mobile opportunities for minorities in town. So what is the city doing with this information?
Right now, the mayor is going to propose what he's going to refer to as a continuation committee that will take the adopted vision plan, and they will break it down into phases and into projects that our community sees as a benefit going forward. I will say that some of the projects that were identified in the vision plan have already begun. If you've noticed coming into Henderson, the old power plant on Water Street is currently being demolished.
Right.
And probably will be one of the first projects that the committee will be asked to look at is what's the best use for that property. One of the other things that we've been really excited about is Henderson has identified its East End area as a redevelopment area, and we have been infusing money over the last 2 years into infrastructure projects. But we also have seen private investment, as well as the Audubon Kid Zone, which is a new project that is a partnership of the local school system, the Preston Foundation, and the City of Henderson to help the youth in that area have a place to go after school and continue after school programs.
Can you describe the East End we have listeners in Evansville, Owensboro. What part of town are you describing? What's the demographic? What are the needs there?
As you're aware, Henderson used to have a big presence in the textile industry. And the East End was built around a hosiery mill that was built back in the late 1800s to early 1900s. And most of that community was a town within itself. They had their own grocery stores, gas stations, banks, retail shopping, everything. Well, with the industry changing and back in the 1980s, the hosiery mill closed down. And with that, along with all the retail businesses, the banks, and everything just disappeared. And a lot of the housing market there turned into rental property and became somewhat in disrepair and became a blighted area. And so the intent of our community is to rebuild that area and also possibly include an arts area has been discussed. So we're excited about it, and we're seeing some changes and some investments by the private sector.
Well,
That's a really interesting finding. And I wonder, because the Vision Henderson report had, you know, an overwhelmingly positive collection of feedback and ideas, and I was wondering if at any point in the process were people talking about, you know, the past, were there ever any missteps in development, or perhaps things that didn't go as well, or things that, I don't know, would have boded better for the present? I mean, you know, obviously we're in downtown, it's lovely, and there are other parts that may have not have developed as much as, you know, the town would have liked.
I will say this, having lived here my entire life, one of the biggest problems our community had was a lack of planning back in the 60s and in the, probably the early 70s. So as Henderson was developing, there were not a lot of planning thoughts given into how things were going to be built, where they were going to be built. And, you know, basically when you drive through Henderson, you'll see a hodgepodge of different types of businesses throughout our community. However, as you're aware, we're also updating our comprehensive plan, which is the planning tool we will use going forward to have a better and more sustainable community and have it planned to going into the future and the needs of our community.
Well, and real quick, we've got about a minute left on the program. I guess I could have been more specific when I was saying, you know, other parts of town. I mean, look at Green Street. It's the first, you know, thoroughfare as you're entering the town, and I imagine it's not necessarily representative of the entire community or, like we've been discussing, the arts. But I understand that is a big part of this vision.
One thing that the vision plan is calling for is a gateway into Henderson, and I will give credit to the elected officials that they have already taken that under their belts and have funded money to improve the gateway, what will be the future gateway into Henderson, which is the Second Street Corridor. And infrastructure projects, new lighting along that route are currently underway. There are a lot of blighted housing that has now been demolished, and hopefully we'll begin a redevelopment of that area and hopefully bring traffic in. Hopefully in the future when I-69 gets signed, that we can bring everybody into Henderson via Second Street Corridor.
And possibly more bike paths as well.
Yes, exactly.
Well, Buzzy, I would love to talk to you some more about that, but we are coming up on the end of the hour, so we'll just have to come back to Henderson.
That'd be great. We welcome you back anytime.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're listening to The Trend. We've finished up our conversation here in Henderson for the day, but as you heard, there's much more to talk about, so we will continue. This is WNIN-FM, Evansville, Henderson, and Owensboro. With your continued support, we're building a better tri-state together. Have a great afternoon.